Well, hello. I was about to say good morning, and I was like, it's definitely not morning, Vanessa. But yeah, so tonight we're going to talk about worship. And when Tim first mentioned to me about me possibly teaching worship tonight, I was immediately excited. I love worship, and I have such a heart for worship. And at first I kind of thought about focusing on, you know, the things of how to worship, those obvious things. And then I just really felt like God said, no, I want you to go somewhere deeper. And so instead, I want to focus on how do we prepare our hearts for worship and how our attitude not only reflects who or what we worship, but that our attitude also reflects the state of our heart. And so if anybody has their Bibles, you can turn with me to Matthew 15:8, where Jesus quotes Isaiah. And I want to look at that to see why preparing our hearts for worship is so important, because to worship God is to approach him. So Matthew 15:8-9, Jesus says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." And through this, we can kind of see that worship is more than obviously the music, song, words, or routine customs. Worship comes from the heart because our hearts are what God desires. The Greek word for heart here isn't the muscular organ that pumps blood. The Greek word is cardia, and it means the center and seat of spiritual life, the soul or mind, as is the fountain and seat of the thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affections, purposes, and endeavors. The definition then continues on to say that the heart is it as is in character or inner self, will, and intentions of man. So preparing our hearts for worship is essential to our relationship with God, because our hearts are the fountain of our thoughts, passions, and desires. If our hearts are not in the right place, then our worship won't be either. If our hearts are far from God, then when we worship, we're not really worshiping him, are we? And if we aren't worshiping him, then our worship is technically pointless. But God never created worship to be pointless. I think William Temple describes worship so poetically. He says, "To worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, and to open the heart to the love of God, to devote the will to the purpose of God." And I do believe it's poetic. It's deep. It covers every aspect of what worship truly is when we worship God. And Temple's quote reminds me of Mark 12:30. The greatest commandment, where Jesus tells us so clearly how to worship and what worship is. And I think most of us all know it, right? It says, it's where Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." So preparing our heart is so crucial to worship, because God desires our whole heart in worship. And we can see that when Jesus gives us that great command. We can begin to prepare our hearts for worship with a soul check. And a soul check helps us see how we need to prepare for worship, because our attitude reflects the condition of our heart, soul, and mind. Examining our attitude helps us prepare for worship. So as we examine our attitude, we often will begin to learn how we really actually view God. And examining our attitude is important, because our attitude directs how we worship and who we worship. Our worship is meant to bring glory and fame to Jesus. And if our attitude is Christ-like, then it will direct our worship to God. But sometimes our attitude is negative. I know mine can be. And when our attitude is negative, that only brings glory and fame to Satan. I think Bill Johnson says it perfectly. He says, "Complaining is to the devil what praise is to God." When I first heard that, it really hit me. I never really thought about when I complained, where that complaint went, where that negative thought or my nasty attitude went. And when I saw this, I realized that he was right. Complaining is to the devil what praise is to God. You can turn with me to Colossians 3:1. And if you ever, I know you guys have probably found yourself at some point in the day, at some point in time in your life, right, with a negative attitude, maybe a negative outlook at life in the moment, or complaining about something. I think I could probably say I do it almost every day. But having a negative attitude can be as easy as eating cake or ice cream, which I find hilarious that I already wrote that out, and we ate cake and ice cream today, so we actually all really literally know how easy it is to eat it. But that was what God told me to put down, so that's what I put down. So, God knew. But it is. I mean, really, having a negative attitude can be as easy as eating cake or ice cream, right? Which is why fixing our eyes on Jesus is so important. It's why worship is so important. When our attitude reflects a fragmented soul, we need to recollect and recalibrate our attitude. Colossians 3:1 through 2 says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." I find that our perspective directly affects our attitude, because our perspective forms our attitude. With our eyes on God, our perspective is directed towards God's sufficiencies and promises. When we see our circumstances and what we're going through a spiritual lens, trusting in the nature of God, it allows his will to be done in not just the big plans or the big picture of our life, but also in those really small, tiny moments as well. And that's where God wants to be. When we set our hearts on Christ, like in Colossians 3, sorry, I think I need some water. Do I have water? No. That's okay. Thank you, honey. So when we set our hearts on Christ and set our minds on the things of God, we can change our perspective, dramatically affecting our attitude. But when we focus on the things of this world or what the world has to offer, we often see our circumstances through the eyes of this world. And then we never get to see where God is in our circumstance. Our attitudes, whether negative or not, is worship. Because we're called to worship with our hearts, souls, and minds. The definition for attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. It's opinions, ideas, thank you, convictions, feelings, thinking, and a position of the body proper to or implying an action or mental state. Attitude is more than a reflection of our hearts, souls, and minds. It is our actual worship. I don't know if you guys can remember the definition of the Greek word for heart, the cardia, yes. But the definition of the word heart that Jesus used and the definition of attitude are so very similar that it's scary. But this is why when we do a soul check to prepare our heart for worship, we have to examine our attitude. We'll learn, as we learn to check our attitude, we begin to learn if we're resting in God's peace, trusting in his promises, and the nature of who God is when we examine our attitude. And hopefully our attitude reflects Christ. But it doesn't always, right? We can ask ourselves as we begin to examine our attitude, is my attitude in thankfulness and praising God, or is it negative? Because like I said before, right, negative attitude is as easy as eating cake and ice cream. Learning to combat the negative is really important. When we agree with the negative, we make a legal contract with Satan to continue that negativity in our thoughts and our hearts, ultimately affecting our worship to God. And that negative attitude then becomes a heart condition. You see, Satan loves to attack us with negativity because it removes our focus from God and his goodness and sufficiency. And while we sit in that negativity and play with that negative thought, we stop trusting in the nature of who God is. And when we have a negative attitude, we stop letting God lead. And instead, we kind of stomp our feet around unhappy that things are not going the way we would like them to, much like my 6 and 7-year-old boys. But our negative attitude reflects the condition of our heart, right? For instance, a negative attitude with work reflects the lack of gratitude that God's provided you that job. God started showing me that if I had a negative attitude with finances, always worried about it, always struggling to get more and more, that it reflected the lack of trust in God that I had, that he was the provider. And again, a lack of gratitude because I wasn't seeing everything he had provided. God also showed me that constantly rushing from here to there, never able to really say no to anything, with my life just feeling so chaotic and there was never enough hours in the day, reflected the lack of control in my life I give to God. It reflects my own selfish desires I am constantly trying to fulfill. See, a negative attitude is not always a bad attitude. A negative attitude is any attitude that does not reflect Christ. And that attitude reveals the way in which we process our day and the way we view God. A negative attitude is not worship to God, but rather we're worshiping the things we're focused on. Asking yourself if your attitude encourages obedience or disobedience to God can help you figure out if you have that negative attitude. I've learned to ask myself, is my attitude encouraging God's will for my life or what I want in this very moment? See, we're called to chase after God's glory, his heart and his will, not the things of this world, right? But in Romans 12, 1 through 2, Paul writes, I urge you, brothers and sisters, because of the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is holy and pleasing, acceptable to God. Such surrender is your reasonable service. This is your true and proper worship, your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good and perfect will of God. What is good and acceptable and perfect? See, we're called to look different than the world. Because our life, our attitude, our response is all worship. If our attitude is the same as the world's, aren't we then worshiping what they're worshiping too? Our attitude is a reflection of what or who we worship, because our attitude directs our worship. A Christ-like attitude is the way we worship God. A negative attitude is the way we worship the things of this world. So let's say we want to prepare our hearts for worship. What are the steps? We'll spend some time listening to God's voice. Examine your attitude and ask God to reveal the negativity you have in your life. And then repent for the negative attitude. Maybe it might be not trusting in his provision or his goodness or his holiness. And remember that our attitude is shaped by our perspective. So ask for a spiritual lens. Let God give you his eyes to see his hand in your circumstance. Let the Holy Spirit center you, changing and molding your heart and your attitude. And then, of course, praise him, regardless of the circumstance. And that's how we prepare our heart for worship. Jerome Davis puts it well. He says, don't allow your situation to change your worship. Let your worship change your situation. See, praise and worship are the weapons against negativity. We counter negativity and stop Satan when we praise and worship God. Paul Bilheimer says it fantastically. I love this. He says, Satan is allergic to praise. So where there is massive triumphant praise, Satan is paralyzed, bound, and banished. This really makes me want to go, amen. Because I love that. Satan is allergic to praise. When the atmosphere around us is negative, that negativity can be like dye. Like I think of tie-dye when you're trying to tie-dye, right? And that dye bleeds onto everything around it. And instead of allowing that negative dye to bleed onto us, we can take authority over the atmosphere around us. And praise is a color blocker that doesn't allow the negative dye to bleed onto us. Jay Hayford says, praise destroys the atmosphere in which sickness, defeat, discouragement, and futility flourish. Praise beats out hell's brush fires. Praise breathes in heaven's life into the vacuum death produces on earth. So are you guys getting a theme here? Worship to God is our weapon against the attack of negativity. Because negativity is the weapon Satan uses to stop us from worshiping God. But Satan attacks our attitude. And it is our attitude in which we worship God. So because our attitude is worship, obviously Satan wants to steer us off course, right? So preparing our hearts for worship by examining our attitude is like putting on armor. And whether Satan whispers negativity or throws giant boulders of negativity your way, we can take control over the atmosphere in the name of Jesus Christ around us, and we can always praise God, lifting up worship and praising God, letting our worship change our situation instead of the other way around. That's it. That was a crash and burn. Oh, real quick, though. I know Tim used to have these.
We got plenty if you want one.
These are awesome. I started reading this book, and this is when God started talking to me about my attitude. And this is how tonight came. It was by this.